coming up on Central Standard, don't just sit there. Let's move.
Hey, I want to dance with somebody. Hi! Hi! Hi, everybody! Hi! Hey, come dance with me! Come dance with me! Come on! Can you?
I'm Jabalani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, a look at an area program working to teach the KC Urban Core about the importance of exercise for better health and obesity prevention. Our guest today, the executive director of the Black Healthcare Coalition, even signed herself up for a 3-month health and weight loss program through Truman Medical Center. We'll hear what she's learned and how her organization will bring these lessons to KC's black and youth populations. That's today on Central Standard after this hour's news.
Now heels, 1, 2, 3, and 2 hard. These are for you!
Good morning, Kansas City. Historically, black Americans have marched for freedom and ran the long race for equality, whether it was running to the polls to vote or running the gauntlet of prejudice and racism. In modern times, there's a different race to be ran, a literal movement to be undertaken that's keeping pace with personal health, running the race against time itself. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Today, we discuss the latest movement and initiatives of the Black Healthcare Coalition, a nonprofit organization that has waged an aggressive education and outreach campaign against diabetes, cancer, hypertension, cardiovascular disease, and other issues that prominently affect African Americans and people who live and dwell in the urban core. Joining us now are Melissa Robinson, Executive Director of the Black Healthcare Coalition, and Missouri State Senator Kiki Curls. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Now, tell us about the history, Melissa, of the Black Healthcare Coalition.
Sure. The Black Healthcare Coalition was started in the 1980s by a group of African-American physicians with the goal of engaging young African-American physicians in community-based programs related to health and wellness. So it was a mentoring type of program for young physicians. It was a time when the physicians were going and living in more suburban areas and forgetting about the urban area and what health disparities were there. And so we worked tirelessly with those physicians to connect them back to the community. And then it also was a time when African-American physicians were not being taught in terms of their continuing education around diseases that affected African-American populations differently. And so every year we would host a conference for African-American physicians and social workers and nurses, or anyone if you weren't African-American and you just wanted to know, how is it that I could provide the same treatment for African-Americans and their counterparts and get different health outcomes? And so we brought people from all over the United States to really help physicians understand about health disparities in our community.
Now, Dr. Jasper Fuller Jr., who emerged as a prominent figure in this movement, has stepped down as chairman of this coalition last year. What type of legacy does he leave behind? And what's happening now to sort of carry out the vision he and his colleagues outlined?
Sure. Dr. Jasper Fullard is the immediate past chair, so he is most certainly still in a role of advising us on how the torch is being passed on effectively to a new generation. Dr. Jasper Fullard is so passionate about cardiovascular disease, diabetes, things that are 100% preventable. And so his legacy has to do with making sure that individuals know their numbers and making sure that people understand what they need to be doing from a personal advocacy standpoint for their own health, putting them in the driver's seat. As we move toward current times and what we're doing, we're making sure that individuals know their numbers, but also we're looking at how do we partner them with healthcare professionals? How do we coach them for that better health outcome? It's one thing to get, when you come to one of our health fairs, you get your BMI, your cholesterol level, your glucose numbers, you get all those numbers, which is great. But what we're doing today is making sure that we follow our clients. We have a diabetes registry right now. So if anybody who has diabetes, we follow them. They get weekly calls from our medical assistants, and we're coaching them towards a better health.
One of the things Dr. Fillard always stressed was that by improving the population of the Black community, it will improve the population as a whole. Talk about that idea, Melissa, and how the group carries that out. You just mentioned the diabetes screenings and other preventative health care measures. Talk about that.
Sure.
What affects the Black community affects the larger community.
Most certainly. Our vision is health equity for all. It's not just about let's work in this little silo to make sure African Americans are healthy, but let's make sure that as African Americans, there's this huge gap in health. Infant mortality is number one. A Black baby is 3 times more likely not to make it to his first birthday than any other group. And so as we look at health equity and closing those gaps, then of course, as a nation, we're going to be healthier. We're going to make sure that our kids are healthier. And it's not just an African-American phenomenon. It's a United States issue that we have to deal with and we have to look at.
Senator Kiki Curls, let's bring you into the conversation. How have you and your colleagues in the Missouri State House been looking at tackling these issues legislatively?
Right. It's something for the past several years. I think I've been in office. This is my 6th year. And it's something that we have tried to address every year through various pieces of legislation. I think most importantly, for us to be able to address some of these issues, we need to do something about our insurance coverage. We need to be increasing the threshold for folks to be able to apply for Medicaid and all of those other things. Lack of insurance, of course, contributes to some of these health disparities. Lack of insurance, lack of screenings, which is one of the reasons initially we started this fair to try to address some of the screenings. You know, to be affected by these disparities is awful. But what's even worse than that is for us to not even know that we have some of these diseases. You may not know that you're diabetic. You may not know that you have high blood pressure. And so then, of course, you're not being treated. So clearly it's something that we try to address yearly. In the legislature, especially those from who happen to be from urban communities that happen to be affected more by these disparities, and the state as a whole. So, Black Healthcare Coalition is doing a great job at trying to address some of these things. And I said earlier, that was one of the reasons that we began having this fair as well.
There's also the matter of health issues being an entrenched, pervasive lifestyle choice, as we heard First Lady Michelle Obama say on this morning's Morning Edition on NPR. Kids are spending an average of 7.5 hours a day in front of a TV screen or a computer, and fewer schools are offering physical education. She said that's only 2% of public high schools in the country now offering PE class. That was something very common as we grew up. Is that declining in Kansas City as well?
Sure. Actually, the Weighing In Coalition that just focuses solely on childhood obesity and is through the Children's Mercy Hospital, worked with a lot of the legislators on the state level to ensure that each principal or each district was not able to say, okay, we only want this many hours of PE. We want to make sure that that's a state standardized, that continues to stay at the state level. And I'm glad that Senator Curls can talk more about that. But I'm glad that those efforts did pay off. And I think that that's one of the things that we have to really look closely at to making sure that our legislators continue to have the power to be able to regulate some of that. Because when you look at, okay, we want to make sure that there's a connection between reading and PE, math and PE and science, and making sure that kids get that outlet because it does affect their academics.
What is the legislative nature of the eradication of physical education? Was it a funding issue? Is it a cultural issue? What are we looking at?
Typically it happens to be a funding issue. We've had significant cutbacks at the state. The things that, of course, are mandated are things that happen to be subjects such as communication arts and math and sciences and those type of things. So, unfortunately, some of those other areas that may tend to give some assistance in us keeping our children healthy happen to, be the first on the chopping block as far as districts are concerned, unfortunately.
Are there any dissenting voices that come before the legislature in hearings and say, there's a correlation between
movement and exercise and neurological functions and right. kids actually being able to pay attention for communication, art, and mathematics and science and the like.
Right. Well, you know, I think some of those things are actually happen to be widely recognized. I don't think there happens to be much debate as to the potential importance of it. It just happens to be that for some of us, it happens to be more important than others when we talk about funding and those type of things that would be required to be able to maintain those courses for the kids in school.
You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR 89.3 on your FM dial, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. We're discussing healthcare education in the urban core. Our guests are Melissa Robinson, Executive Director of the Black Healthcare Coalition, and Missouri State Senator Kiki Curls. Now, Senator Curls, economic disparity and access to health information and healthcare are looked at as obstacles to a healthy black
Absolutely.
Community or a healthy urban core. Tell us why these are obstacles, and more important, how are you working around these challenges?
Well, I think, as I said, many of these issues are things that we try to tackle every year. Certainly, our caucus, the Democratic caucus, the Black caucus, those are things that we happen to recognize are extremely important when we talk about these health disparities or other health issues. You know, I think one of the number one things is lack of access to insurance in many cases. It happens to be one factor. Of course, there are many, but that happens to be a major factor. You know, if we feel as if we don't have insurance and it's going to be too expensive, if we're already lacking economically and it's going to be too expensive for us to be able to go to the doctor's office, so we'll have to pay fully or maybe the copay, those things are too expensive. Those are clearly things from the onset that keep us from going to the doctor and getting screenings and getting checked and all those things.
And of course, Melissa, some of these obstacles include nutritional choices and in some cases curbing and eliminating some of the staples of African-American culture, barbecue, soul food, stuff like that. Tell us about the daunting task of checking lifestyle choices at the door to improve.
I will tell you, and I won't mention a name because I don't know how much trouble I can get into, but I went to a local pharmacy, drugstore in the community on Troost. And actually, I went to the one on Broadway because, as we talked about in your opening statement, I too battle with the risk of diabetes myself in a personal way. And so I was going to get one of those A1C check things. And so I went to the pharmacy store on Broadway and had a wonderful experience. Then I said, okay, I'm going to go get another one, but I'm going to do it in my community. And so I went to the store and there were signs in the candy aisle that said, we accept SNAP benefits all throughout the candy aisle on every stand that they had candy in. And I just looked at that. I took a picture of it.
Explain what that means.
SNAP is food stamps, as we know, you know,
for
the
candy.
Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. So it's. And when I looked at that, I said, oh, my, like we're out giving people their BMI and their glucose levels and telling them it's important to shop at the farmers markets and, you know, grow their own gardens. And then they go, the only store that's in their community is promoting these items. And it's a uphill battle when you have to fight those particular institutions, because it wasn't at the Broadway store, same chain.
It
wasn't
there. It
was at the store on Troost. And so it is the way we look at the cycle of socialization when we look at how to impact health disparities. And remember, the cycle of socialization, you have to look at from the time you're in the womb to when you're a child and to those institutions that impact you throughout your life to make you believe a certain way. And so, yes, as we look at soul food and the traditions that we have in our family, in the Black church, you know that when you sign up for something to offer at the repast or for the church's anniversary, you have a lot of foods there that are on the menu that don't promote healthy living, active living. And so we're working with the Black church to say, hey, let's plan out our menus where we have less places for people to sign up for sweets or for fried chicken, or, you know, let's make sure that vegetables are included in that. We want to make sure that the healthy choice is the easy choice at every point of our socialization process.
And probably another reason for not mentioning that story directly is that you don't want people to actually go, oh, they're I can get candy now and go to that store and pick up some candy as well.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure the way that it's publicized, they very much know. And it's in a big red sign all throughout the aisle. But, yeah, we don't we want to defer people from that message.
That seems very emblematic of the options that seem to be out there. Tell us, Melissa, about some of the lifestyle choices you yourself have made or have examined looking at changing.
Sure. I mean, it does have to do with healthy eating, active living, and making sure that just that those things are the easy choice in my own personal life. For example, I make sure I like to read. And so I make sure my favorite book is by my treadmill and I don't read it unless I'm warming up on the treadmill. Just making sure that those the healthy choice is the easy choice for me. But also, we're always inundated with this whole health message. Every magazine that you pick up when you turn on the television and you're watching all these things, and it's just overwhelming at times. And even being in a healthcare industry, we all know, you know, calories in, calories out. We all know those things. And what made it so helpful for me when I work with Truman Medical Center, they have a state-of-the-art bariatrics program. It's phenomenal. Dr. Shadrach Smith leads that practice. And it was the health coach that really helped me. That weekly call that I got, and we talked about what goals do you have for the week? What are you going to be doing for yourself? And when I sat down and talked to the doctor, he said, "You want me to tell you why you're not going to lose weight?" And I said, "Yeah, that's kind of why I'm here, Dr. Smith." And his response was, "Because you can't say no." And they do a whole piece around motivational interviewing, like what are you motivated to do? So that's been a little bit of my personal journey. And I would say, of course, the whole healthy eating, active living is so important, but also having that accountability partner that we all have access to within our personal networks was key.
Mm-hmm. Senator Curls, it looks like we have at least a short-term solution to augmenting some of those costs or offsetting some of the PE costs. Give the kids some books, put them on a treadmill.
Hey.
Let them read at the same time they're running.
Hey, I think that would be awesome. Then, of course, they're going to say, then we have to purchase the treadmills.
Right. Okay. Right. What have been some of the ways, Senator Curls, you've moved in your own personal walk with health awareness? And
you know what? I think, you know, clearly over, well, for sure over the past couple of years, it's been a journey. You have to do it incrementally. You know, initially, we lived in a very fast-paced, our society is very fast-paced. You know, we tend to eat out more. We tend to eat fast food for more, feed our kids fast food more often, maybe clearly than years ago. So it takes doing it in increments. You know, say you're going to cut out maybe at least two meals that week in the very beginning from eating fast food. You're going to try to get your five fruits and vegetables in a day. Those are things in my own personal journey. It's interesting because in Jefferson City, as it is at home, the culture is very much around eating. You know, socially, our community here in urban community tends to be around large meals and cooking fried foods and some of those other comfort foods, of course, we're used to. Jefferson City has to be the same. It tends to be the same culture. So it has to be that we just have to make decisions. You know, in Jefferson City this year, I said that I would only eat out once a week, if that. There were some weeks that I did not eat out at all. And that's clearly a culture where many times we eat out two to three times a day, every single day. So there are decisions we have to make clearly in our personal lives and for our children. You know, we talk about disparities and we talk about childhood obesity. And I think currently about a third of the kids in the country happen to be overweight. And getting back to the health and safety fair, that's one of the things. We have to make sure we get out. We have to make sure we get more active. As far as the public health and safety fair, we like to give away a lot of items and sports items that, of course, when we were kids, we played outside a considerable more amount of time than we do now. So we give away hula hoops and jump ropes and basketballs and footballs and bubbles and sidewalk chalk and all those other things to see that we can get kids more active as well.
Start to direct the kids toward the door and say, here's a Nerf football.
Right.
Take
that's
this,
it.
Go outside.
That's it. That's it.
How have your curbing eating out initiative in Jefferson City, your personal commitment to curb that, how is that working out for you so far?
It actually has worked out pretty well. Jefferson City, I have lost a couple of pounds, of course, even this legislative session. And it is something very difficult, I think, that most of us recognize. You know, when folks go away to school, they talk about the freshman 15 to freshman 30. I mean, clearly in Jefferson City, we have that freshman 30 thing. We have that many times when folks are elected that first year, it is not uncommon for them to gain 20 to 30 pounds within that 5.5 months we happen to be in Jeff City consistently.
There's also a lot of hills and inclines there in Jefferson City around the State House, too. So do you find yourself maybe walking up one of those?
You know what? At times, but we will find many times that we have to make time. Sometimes it's very difficult to get outside, depending on how many committee hearings we have, whether we happen to be in legislative session. You know, I think most of us are there clearly from 8 in the morning many times to 10, 11 o'clock at night, and sometimes that happens to be an early night. So we do.
We talked about a busy life and stress. What about stress?
Yeah.
How big a factor is mental stress
in
poor health care decisions?
Oh, it is huge. When you think about the social determinants of health and the stress that you're associated with, because it's particularly if you don't have access to wealth or you don't have access to economic security, that stress is compounded. We have to really address that vigorously. We do walking clubs at the Black Healthcare Coalition because we know that exercise is a straight way to help with stress. And so it is huge as it relates to specifically cancer and hypertension and a lot of different things.
Phil called in from Midtown to share his solution. He says, give kids more recess and they'll need less Ritalin. That's Phil's philosophy. That's what Phil wanted to share.
And then thank you, Phil, for that. In addition to there's a lot of study and research, especially with children that have ADHD, looking at their diet and their nutrition and ensuring that they don't have soda pop or a lot of sugary meals and a lot of processed foods. In the African-American community, and I'll speak for other communities, the Latino community as well, when you're on a budget, I think that economic security goes across racial barriers and divides. When you're on a budget, you can go into the store and purchase a whole meal for $2 versus going to get the raw ingredients. It becomes very difficult for families just to purchase everything fresh and to cook it from scratch. And it also is a time factor. If you don't have a lot of time, a lot of people kind of veer away from that. And so we're very into making sure that it's integrated in your lifestyle. And again, it's an easy choice to make. So your diet and your exercise affects so many areas of your life, including children that have behavior challenges.
Let's talk about Let's Move, this weekend's event. It's a 5K run walk out at the Swope Health Services Complex. Is this connected to First Lady Michelle Obama's national Let's Move campaign? Tell us about it.
Yes. As you know, the many 5Ks are, you have to pay some level of fee to get in. And we said we didn't want to have any barrier. We want to connect with our First Lady's Let's Move campaign, decrease the barrier, and increase access to healthy eating, active living. And we've done that through the 5K. We want people to know that, you know, walking a little bit over 3 miles is not a daunting, huge task or feat. This is something that you can do every day, 3 times a week, every Saturday, whatever you decide to do within your life. We want to make sure that you know that it's accessible and you can make it happen. We're going to begin the walk at 8 a.m. We're asking people to come to Swope Health Services, 3801 Blue Parkway, at around 7:30 so that they can get checked in. And we have a warm-up that's going to be going on as well there. And we just want people to get up and get active and get moving and be the beginning part of a Saturday.
And that will help with stuff like hypertension, which is a very prominent ailment in the Black community. What are some of the other activities beyond the run that the Healthcare Coalition has advocated to curb some of these effects, these common effects in the Black community?
In addition to the run after June 2nd?
In addition to the run after June 2nd, okay. In addition to the initiatives before June 2nd.
Sure. One of the things we're working on is the food desert and play desert initiatives in the community. And we're working with the Black church to ensure that certain areas in our community that have a lack of access to fresh grocery, that they're running their church vans throughout the week in some of those areas, and helping individuals get to, whether it's the farmer's market or whether it's to a particular grocery store. That and so we're working heavily on that. Again, we have our diabetes program. We have walking clubs. We make sure that individuals have great access to our federally qualified health centers, known as our safety nets, Swope Health Services, Truman Health System. And we just make sure that individuals are connected and they know what to do so that they can be in the driver's seat around their health. But we do have a lot of programs. We have an infant mortality program called Have a Healthy Baby, to make sure that individuals are thinking about health early on in the lives of their children. And we're really, really excited. We've partnered with the mobile market, the Beans and Greens mobile market that's ran through the Menorah Legacy Foundation. This is a mobile market that goes around in food deserts. They will be there on June 2nd. Mm-hmm. And if you have SNAP, you get 2 for 1. And so you could put...
You're not talking about the True Store, right?
No, it's not a True Store. It's an actual van.
Not the candy.
Not the candy. No, no, no. This is fresh produce, and they have meat, and they have milk and eggs and cheese and those types of things. It's a mobile market. It's on a van, and they go around, and they make sure people have access. I particularly, they're at the Thomas Roanoke Center every week, and so they have awesome, awesome quality. So anyone's welcome, but if you have SNAP, you get 2 for 1. So you could put $50 in your grocery bag and only spend $25 on your SNAP card. So it's a wonderful program that not a lot of people know about. We want you to come get acclimated with that program on June 2nd at Swope Health Services.
Melissa Robinson is the president and CEO of the Black Healthcare Coalition, and also with us is Missouri State Senator Kiki Curls. We're talking about health issues in the urban core. One of the events to bring about awareness in this area is coming up this Saturday, the Let's Move 5K Run and Walk, which will begin at 8 a.m. Saturday, June 2nd at Swope Health Services. That complex is at 3801 Blue Parkway in Kansas City, Missouri. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we chat about other challenges such as childhood obesity and more about some of the remedies. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. In a typical American urban core community, there's no shortage of fast food restaurants and convenience stores, along with liquor stores and churches. Conversely, nature trails and fitness centers are equally hard to come by in those areas. So joining us once again for this second half are Melissa Robinson, president and CEO of the Black Healthcare Coalition, and Missouri State Senator Kiki Curls. We're talking about healthcare issues in the urban core. Ladies, it's safe to say that looking around the average black community, it kind of discourages any semblance of healthy living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you just think about the Brookside Trail that goes down alongside Brookside, wouldn't it be awesome if we had that down Paseo? Would be so phenomenal. Now, I am glad that the city of Kansas City did put a walking trail in the 3rd District, the Van Brunt Trail that just recently opened up. So that's awesome. However, we have to make sure things are visible. Just as we have the trail that goes down Brookside, you know that community is active, mm-hmm. and you see people on the trail all the time. We appreciate the Van Brunt Trail is great, but doesn't have that same level of visibility. So the Black Healthcare Coalition, we do things such as partner with Parks and Recreation and share with them a vision and see how we could potentially get something like that done. But that is very important that it is an oasis of healthy living, active living. And it, again, is the easy choice. We're also looking at zoning for fast food restaurants. There needs to be a zoning area. If you think about Linwood, and if you're living in that community, what you have access to, a lot of fast food that's condensed right in one area. And so we're wanting to make sure that there is zoning in particularly food desert areas where we have tax incentives for healthy and nutritious access. And then you also have the adverse effect as it relates to unhealthy choices.
Yeah, I'm picturing a Jiffy Lube and a Chinese Express place and a Church's and Chicken. It pretty much says, I don't have to get out of my car.
Right, exactly.
And there's a lot of oil involved. Senator Curls, where is the discussion headed on bringing some oases that she just talked about to some of these food deserts and also carving out more green space for physical activity? What are the planning and zoning challenges in some of these areas?
You know what? Well, the planning and zoning issues typically are, of course, done by the city of Kansas City and not actually at the state. But clearly, I have been an advocate for each and every one of those. I mean, I think all of us, or at least some of us, recognize how important that is. So I think it just comes, you know, that we need to lean a little heavier, of course, on the city to make sure that that is a priority. And we certainly do appreciate the Van Brunt Trail mm-hmm. and the repaving of the track down at Parade Park and some of those other things. Mm-hmm. Right, it is. Yeah. So I think it's something that all of us need to you know, it's just something we need to work further toward.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things we're working with the senator's office is a WIC store. And so right. I know that that is an uphill battle, because when you think about a WIC-only store, it's handled by the private market. And mm-hmm. so they have these WIC stores, and it becomes potentially more costly for the state to be involved. And so we're trying to kind of work on, as we look at a food oasis in our community, we could potentially start there and build from that aspect. And so mm-hmm. we're really excited that Senator Curls is working to help us with that.
Absolutely.
Now, we talked a little bit about fast food. Speaking of fast food, McDonald's is one of the sponsors of the walk. Tell us about that and how
sure.
that came through and the sort of controversy that arises, the natural controversy.
Yeah, so there is a lot of controversy. Like, and I have to tell people, I'm a fundraiser. I have to raise a budget, and we need investment for right. this to happen. And we come from a position of all hands on deck. If I'm going to the pastor saying, give up your van on Wednesdays and Sundays to take people to the farmer's market, we're coming to everyone. And so we had this conversation because of a contact that we had. And we said, you know, African-American owners and operators need to be involved in this fight. And they came together and they said, you're absolutely right. We will invest in the 5K. You talked about economic disparity earlier. And I was thinking about the Van Brunt store, the McDonald's store that's right there on Van Brunt. Have you ever woken up and looked outside your window or drived a mile around your community and there wasn't one place you could work? Not one place that you can go and get a job. Mm-hmm. Van Brunt in that corridor, that's the only place mm-hmm. there is a McDonald's. That's the only place for that, you know, someone to say, hey, you know, I need a job. Let me mm-hmm. go and do that. And it is a place where a lot of our kids get their first start as it relates to working and employment. But as it relates to McDonald's, they have healthier choices right. that are on their menu. The oatmeal, I took my son to get a Happy Meal one day, and we do that maybe like once a month. As mm-hmm. you said, you have to set goals for yourself
you
and
you
say,
start
you know,
small.
We're not going to. So it's like, Jeffrey, when you get in the car, I know you, you know, McDonald's. It's only once a month that you're going to be able to eat at a fast food restaurant. But they now have, like, they give them, like, 4 french fries, and they give them apple slices. And
right.
so that is helping. And when you go back to the cycle of socialization, our institutions, our business institutions, they do have to set more of a healthy precedence. But myself, as a parent, I am the end-all, be-all. Mm-hmm. And so I have to make sure that I'm building up that healthier lifestyle within those that I have influence over.
Right. And it's also an opportunity for, I mean, we clearly know McDonald's impact on kids in our community. It's also an opportunity for us to be able to make parents aware of some of those healthier choices they have on the menu. I mean, in the Happy Meal, clearly they can get the apple slices. They don't necessarily have to get the full order of french fries. They can order milk instead of maybe soda.
Mm-hmm.
For breakfast, they can get the yogurt mm-hmm. that morning or the oatmeal mm-hmm. instead of
the hash brown. And
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because at the 5K run, they will have a presence there, and they have this game, like, how can you get your meal under 400 calories at McDonald's, that they play with the children. And then they do have some policies around marketing to kids. Mm-hmm. We wanted the kids to have, you know, apple slices and things like that mm-hmm. that they offer. And they said, well, you know, we can't market to children. We have to make sure that we have that conversation with the parent. And so there is some positivity there, and we're glad that they're mm-hmm. that they're on board. Right. And we say to individuals who bring up the controversy around that is, you know, pull out your checkbook, give us $20 so that we can make this happen for our community. We all have to be engaged in this process.
Right.
And if it starts with McDonald's, it starts somewhere.
Yes, it does.
And we talk about those incremental steps. And if it happens to be, you know, even if it happens to be McDonald's, then there are small things, of course, and choices that they can make even within those individual meals that would at least be healthier than it would in the tradition.
And if they're not at the table, then how is our voice being delivered to them? If I'm not sitting down talking to them about what we're trying to do, then it also is a disservice.
We talked about food deserts, and we talked about play deserts, and we talked about perceptions in the urban core about what's accessible and what's not accessible, what you see and what you don't see. How do you educate groups of individuals who either don't know any better or feel as if they can't do any better?
Right.
Health-wise.
One of the things we're doing with our churches that have walking clubs, they want to go to the areas that are not in the community to walk. They don't want to go to Central Park, you know. And so one of the things that we've had them do is a walking accessibility survey. So at least they're taking a hard, fast look around what's around them, what's available to them. And that's where the conversation starts. And then they can go and say, you know, we want to be with you on this trail on Paseo because that's something that is beautiful to us and that we want to do. It'll make it access more important for us. And so, yeah, we work with those small groups so that they have a voice of advocacy. And then we work individually with folks as well, just around their own personal barriers. We have, again, medical assistants that work with people and say, okay, well, your BMI is not where it needs to be. Your glucose is abnormal. Your cholesterol, everything. You have some challenges. What is it that you want to change? Maybe it's just drinking more water every week. We don't want to just go and, as the senator said, it's incremental. And so we work with people on making those incremental steps toward achievement.
Elsa from Liberty calls in to share that she volunteered at KC's soup kitchen and found that no one was touching the green beans. So what she wants to know is, how can you reverse a veggie stigma in some of these communities?
Mm-hmm.
A stigma around healthier foods or green foods or...
Right.
Not so much a stigma, but
right.
Not really an affinity, not really a liking.
Right. And I think with the Michelle Obama Let's Move campaign, one of the things has to do with growing vegetables, understanding when we go into schools and we talk to kids and we say, you know, where does a green pepper come from? They always say the grocery store. They never say the dirt or in a garden and, you know, that kind of thing. So we do have to reverse some of that so that you develop a love and an appreciation for vegetables. For every meal, you don't have to serve meat. You don't. I mean, you can. And when you say that, it's like, okay, well, if that's all you have, if the green beans and the carrots is the only thing at the soup kitchen that's available that day, then I think that that you were able to kind of turn some of those things around. But we talked to people about when we sit down and speak with people, wants to develop cancer. Well, cancer fighting agents are available to you, your green beans and your blueberries and all of these different things. We have this really phenomenal piece that we do with the similarity of our body parts and different vegetables. So when you think about the heart having four chambers, a tomato has four chambers. And so there's so many vegetables out there. When you look at the carrot, not the ones that are chopped up, but the full carrot helps with the eyes. Look, if you look at the bottom of it, it's an eye, right? Mm-hmm. And so we talk about those things to help make that connection with food and our body and how it works and how we can maintain a healthy lifestyle.
Right. And, you know, that's why community gardening is so important as well. I mean, even myself as a kid, I didn't like tomatoes as a kid. Mm-hmm. But when my grandmother would grow them in her garden, I would eat those tomatoes if I were able to pick them. I mean, I think kids and others being able to have a part in the process and it having to be some interactive learning tool for them also gives them some excitement on being able to grow and then harvest and then have someone cook those for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
You're tuned in to Central Standard on KCUR 89.3 FM, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Jabalani LaFall. We're discussing healthcare education in the urban core. My guests are Melissa Robinson, President and CEO of the Black Healthcare Coalition, and Missouri State Senator Kiki Curls, who's here talking about public and private partnerships that go with an upcoming event, the Let's Move 5K Run Walk, that begins at 8 a.m. Saturday, June 2nd at Swope Health Services. That complex is out on 3801 Blue Parkway in Kansas City, Missouri. One of our listeners, Ken, writes in to us at centralstandard@kcur.org to ask, do food deserts exist because retailers ignore an economic demand for fresh food? He says it's counterintuitive to suggest retailers refuse to sell what's in demand. How do you respond to that question and comment?
Can I just say something about the lady in the soup kitchen piece real quick? Because, I mean, after reflection, I would encourage that soup kitchen to look at some fresh fruits and vegetables that they can package up and give to people when they leave. Because when you come to the soup kitchen, that may be your only meal for the day. Right. So you're wanting to kind of load up on things that are going to last.
They're going to fill your stomach.
Yeah. And so I would encourage her to do that. Think about packaging something for energy purposes for those individuals. But to the current caller that called in, in the urban area, a lot of the retailers in the grocery stores, one, we have one that pretty much has a monopoly on the food distribution system. And when that happens, you can create your own rules around where you're going to go and where you're not going to go. And in that situation, they depend a lot on the rooftops, because basically the conversation is there's not enough rooftops to support a grocery store in this area. And so there's a dependence upon the rooftops that are in food deserts to shop at their stores that are either outlining the food deserts or, for example, I think about Price Chopper in Brookside. That's kind of on the outskirts of a food desert area, or just going to the other stores that are in the suburban area. And so, yes, it does. It's an economic situation. It's a rooftop situation. But I also think that on the flip side, if individuals that were in food deserts refuse to shop in some of those areas, you open your show with a movement and you talked about the struggle. And I think sometimes we have to get back to that and show our economic power and our economic dignity and say that, you know, if you're unwilling to come into our area, we're unwilling to support what you depend on. And so it's a huge issue with a lot of moving parts.
One of our listeners, Caroline, says she's glad we were discussing the Van Brunt Trail. She writes, and I quote, "It's really lovely. Get on Paseo at Cleaver 2 Boulevard and head east. Last time she was there, she saw four herons, a newly planted rose, lovely sycamores, and delightful wetland." She says, "In my opinion, it's much nicer trail than the trolley track, the one we referenced out in the Brookside and Plaza area. No roads to cross, just a lovely meandering route along the creek." Thank you, Caroline, for your contribution to this conversation here today. Let's get back to childhood obesity, a real large problem in the United States. And, of course, like many issues, it's compounded in the African-American community in particular. Melissa, is confronting childhood obesity a top priority for the coalition?
Oh, most certainly. You talked about Dr. Jasper Fullard. He has this theory that only he calls it the triple barrel shotgun theory. And it's about cholesterol, and it's about diabetes, and it's about hypertension. And in order for us to address this triple shotgun barrel theory that he has, is we have to address diabetes, hypertension, and cholesterol. And we need to do that in bringing in the social determinants of health in the way that we're socialized. We have to, it's like people that are downstream. So we're pulling people out of the stream as we're intervening and trying to help them understand about healthy eating, active living, which, by the way, when you say healthy eating, active living, you talk about HEAL, H-E-A-L. And that's what we need. We need a healing in our community, and we can get that through healthy eating, active living. But at the same time, we have to ensure that we stop the faucet, and we can do that through addressing childhood obesity.
Does this start, too, with educating and working with Black mothers and Black women who are also disproportionately affected by obesity? Does it start with they typically spend more time with the children and in the early stages of a child's life have a lot more say in the nutritional needs and nutritional endeavors of a child? How about educating the parents?
Yes, that is extremely important. We have to work on on, we have to work on all cylinders. It's not just a one cylinder approach. And so, yes, we're looking at how do we educate providers? How do we educate our legislators? How do we educate everyone? And again, if you look at the social determinants of health, there's a lot of different moving pieces. There's six sectors that make up our community. And so we have to focus on each of those sectors. And one of those sectors, we're not even talking about parents and the family. And that's the major part of it. When you look at any problem, the family is the basic unit of society. And any problem, if our families are out of whack and out of control, then of course that's going to be replicated throughout our society. And so, yes, that's why our WIC Center is so very dear to our heart, because it is a place where individuals can come and be educated. They do this in Chicago, Illinois. They have WIC-only stores that are ran by Catholic charities. It's an oasis of support for young mothers and children, and we want to recreate that here in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. Senator Curls, you're developing the health and safety fairs, and you've been a big advocate of that as part of this weekend's event and in general on a rolling basis. Tell us about some of the things we can expect at those fairs.
Well, first, you know, we talk about childhood obesity, and I said many of the activities there happen to be centered around youth and tackling this childhood obesity issue for kids' health and safety over the summer. But, you know, Chris Martin, former Chiefs player, will also be having an interactive football camp for kids 6 to 17 years old. And we have the opportunity for up to 300 kids to be able to participate in that football camp. It'll be a really great event. You know, with Melissa here, of course, we'll have the fantastic 5K walk. There'll be screenings. There'll be dental screenings, blood pressure screenings, cholesterol screenings, diabetes screenings, many others to try to address some of those other issues related to health disparities. And we'll have tons of free giveaways for the kids. As I said earlier, there'll be hula hoops and jump ropes and basketballs and soccer balls and all of these things that will be given away freely. In addition to the bike raffle that we have, trying to get kids, of course, more active as well, we'll have probably 20 to 25 bikes to raffle off and give away for free every hour on the hour of the fair.
We're talking about health and access to good health care and nutrition in the urban core. Our guests are Melissa Robinson, President and CEO of the Black Healthcare Coalition, and Missouri State Senator Kiki Curls. Dan from Kansas City, welcome to Central Standard.
Hey, this is Dan from Herbivore Urban Farm.
Oh, Kansas Dan from Missouri. Herbivore. How you doing?
Yeah. Hey, Giovanni. Hey, I just wanted to throw in the comment that we have our farm opening happening just north of Swope Park that same day after the event. So you guys can head on down after that and get some fresh produce. And I'm loading up some compost right now to help grow some more vegetables. Yeah.
And you said that'll be north of Swope Park?
Yes, it's off of 55th and Blue Parkway, 5500 Bennington. It's from 2 to 6 p.m. We're having a community picnic that evening, and people can come by and they can get a compost pail for free. And so, yeah, I encourage people to come down.
Thank you, Dan, for contributing to the conversation and also creating a complimentary angle for the 5K walk run here on Saturday in the same general area.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
So you can walk and run up there and get some fresh produce after that. Melissa Carlson writes in to say, did you know that the food pantry at St. Paul's in KCK on 18th Street has awesome fresh foods? Whole Foods donates anything from greens to portobello mushrooms to bundles of herbs, tons of nice whole grain breads from both of them. And Panera is also involved as well. It's very appealing stuff. People are calling in to talk about fresh food options here, and we appreciate that. Melissa, you hear a lot about crime. You hear a lot about economic disparity, racial discrimination, issues a lot of community leaders want to address time and time again. They're very sexy topics to get on the soapbox about. But how do you, as a community leader yourself, and we'll follow up with Senator Curls, how do you work toward making basic health and self-care a forefront issue that's germane to talk about?
Sure. Health is, you can't talk about anything else if you're not talking about health. When you talk about the infant mortality issues, if African-American babies aren't even have the affordability of making it to their first birthday, then when does the education conversation ever come in for those, that group of people? And so health is a main current. We work with the Full Employment Council to ensure that individuals who are laid off remain in a good health status, because if you don't have access to insurance or health care during that time, that layoff period, what does it look like when you go back to work and you're taking off because you didn't take care of your health? And so it's all interconnected. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have health, you don't have much else. And so we really work with the community to really continually think about that. And we have to frame it in so many different ways as it relates to economic stability. When we talk about the Linwood Shopping Center, I'm often saying, what if this was a food distribution center on Linwood? And so that's a great area where you can employ, you know, 250 people through a food distribution mm-hmm. center. So we're talking about employment and we're talking about removing blight, but we're also talking about accessing food. And it's something that we have to continue to make sure that it's at the forefront. I do want to say, too, that we want everyone to come to the 5K and the Public Health and Safety mm-hmm. Fair.
Just because it's Black Healthcare Coalition doesn't mean it's only Black people.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. This is a phenomenon that we're facing as a whole culture, American culture, regardless of our ethnicity. And if you are a mother or a father who have talk to your child about the amount of soda pop that they're going to eat, or you're talking about how active they're going to be this summer, how you're integrating this, we want you to come out to the walk, and we want you to tell your child, we're walking for you. We're walking to make sure that you're kicking your summer off right and that you don't have diabetes. So we're not walking, the diabetes walk won't be for you, because we're making sure that we prevent that. And so, but if you haven't had the conversation about healthy eating, active living with your children, it's so important for you to come, because mm-hmm. this can be the launch pad for you to do that.
Absolutely.
Kids drinking soda pop isn't good for you, but if you're eating soda pop, that's even worse.
Oh, okay. If I said that, I'm sorry.
Senator Kiki Curls, some final thoughts for you.
Well, as far as the Public Health and Safety Fair, many of those things, of course, that Melissa said was absolutely true. And this is an event that is free and open to the public. And as she said, it does not matter what ethnicity, what part of the city you are from. It's just something we want folks to be able to take advantage of. We talk about health and its impact on economic development. I think earlier we had clearly talked about health and its aspects and its effect on our life from very early on until working age. I mean, its impact on student achievement as well as our work productivity later in life.
The event she's talking about is called Let's Move. It's a 5K run walk that will begin 8 a.m. Saturday, June 2nd at Swope Health Services. That complex is at 3801 Blue Parkway in Kansas City, Missouri. Our guests have been Melissa Robinson, President and CEO of the Black Healthcare Coalition, and Missouri State Senator Kiki Curls. Thank you very much for
Thank
coming.
Thank you. And free T-shirts. Come out. Get a free T-shirt.
Free T-shirts. That's
absolutely
reason enough to come.
Free.
Tune in tomorrow for our second show asking, what will the future of the farm look like? The farmer of the future, what do they look like? We'll hear from the farms across the metro about new challenges farmers face. Our show is produced by Andrea Salenzi with help from Charlie Upchurch. Up to Date is next with psychologist Wes Crenshaw on teens, parents, and graduation. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.